Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the 12th and only 12th episode of Tavern Tussle. Can your wallet handle D&D this year?
Where will your D&D game take place?
Do D&D characters really die?
Are you ready for the Mad Mage? Find out this week on Tavern Tussle.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It's been two long, hard weeks. But as always, I'm Cam Bams, and today I'm joined by...
Karateka.
So thank you all for your patience. We took the week off July 4th because it was Karateka's son's birthday. So we're like, hey, why not do that? And then the next week was unexpected, and we apologize. I had a procedure having to do with injecting chemicals into my spine, and that left me pretty bedridden. And then, of course, Karateka had family issues come up. So it was perfect time for that to happen, really.
Yeah.
Because we were both just out of commission.
Seriously, it was kind of rough.
It was rough, but we're here, we're back, we're happy to be back, we're excited. We have a lot of things planned. Most of our plans aren't really going to come into fruition until August, but it's going to be awesome. And to stay up to date, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Tavern Tussle, because all of our updates and announcement are going to happen there first, and then it'll happen on the podcast. It'll make sense after you follow and everything. But yeah, but we're alive. We're healthy. Our families are healthy. Everything is okay. We're doing all right. I have my back pillow, so we're set. So yeah. So let's just get into the tussle, man.
Ready. It's been a while. Long. Hell yeah. Too long.
So let's start off with our weekly game. So this week we're still playing in Andy's campaign. My new Blood Hunter is a badass.
Yes.
Who dies a lot.
That's okay. He goes down. He doesn't die.
Yeah, I was unconscious like twice last week.
So, I mean, we're back to back. We're fighting it out.
Yeah, it's a flood of orcs.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was interesting.
I mean, it's cool. It's going along nicely. You know, right now we're just orc hunting for a tribe of elves in the forest. So that's always fun fantasy stuff. We did spring the greatest trap ever on a war camp of orcs.
Mm-hmm.
Our warlock went invisible and set their tents on fire, killing like half of them, which, whatever, it's cool. They're still...
We kind of needed it at the time, though.
Yeah, we did. We were beat up.
We were spent.
Yeah, the Bloodhunter class, like, I can see... It's good, but I can see where there's a little bit of balancing issues. Like, I don't feel as powerful as, like, a fighter or a barbarian or something. Like, a Hexblade Warlock has more utility than the Bloodhunter. I picked the Mutant class just because it fulfills that Witcher fantasy.
Yes.
You know, I want to be Geralt of Rivia. But it is a lot of fun, and it's interesting because you have so many things you need to keep track of, so it, like... It makes the character more developed in a way. And like I'm enjoying it quite a lot. So thank you, Matthew Mercer, for a wonderful class design. Yeah, but nothing super important or interesting is happening in the game.
We're kind of working our way towards more important stuff.
Yeah, but it's good so far. I'm still enjoying it. But tomorrow we start... Your game,
mm-hmm.
Curse of Strahd.
Yes.
Do you wanna get into that for a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Definitely. I'm going to. I don't know how to explain this without giving away too much. I don't want to give anything away since we haven't even started yet. But a lot of it, especially since we're having 6 to 7 players so far, I may even have an additional one come in later. I'm going to be changing it a lot. I might extend the campaign within Barovia for a while. And then I also kind of have plans for if you guys make it out. I actually have quite a big block of story planned for you. Pretty much, No, I'm not. I can't say too much, but I got something planned for if you guys make it out. It's gonna be pretty interesting.
Well, that's exciting because it's always weird, like when you finish a campaign and then it's just like, what now?
Yeah, nothing happens.
Yeah, and you're like, oh,
go back home and
we're heroes.
Retire.
Congratulations.
Retire at the age of 25.
Yeah, no.
Unless you're an elf.
But in your game, I will be playing Andrakus, Oath of Conquest, Tiefling Paladin, who is secretly kind of a Knight of Hell, but not really. It's in the backstory, people.
There's a couple players who came to me with interesting backstories that, I mean, they just, which is cool. They gave me just so much stuff I can build off of.
Yeah.
I mean, even before, I haven't even started the campaign and I already have so many ideas of how to tie in people's backstories and make the game interesting.
That is one of the greatest gifts you can give a DM is when you give them a detailed analysis and backstory of your character, because then it just gives them so much playroom to play with that in the campaign. I mean, mine was only like, what, 10, 12 pages long?
Yes. Yeah. So. It was about 10, yeah, about 10, 12.
Maybe I'll post it somewhere so people can read it if they're interested.
Yeah.
Because it's good. I like it.
Yep. Let's see. So we have you, Andrakus. I don't have a full name roster yet, but we have Andy, who's playing the half-orc rogue,
which is gonna be fun.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen Andy play a rogue.
No, I don't think he has.
He's usually the brute, like
fighter
barbarian in the middle. Yeah, very loud, very proud.
Like, he's throughout the years of playing D&D, Andy has really grown. He's come out of his shell and stuff. Like, he's interested more in role-playing than just, you know, optimizing everything to a T.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to see because it makes the game more enjoyable for everyone.
Yes.
When people are invested in their characters and not, like, you know, like, their numbers and stuff. So, like, Andy really is, like, I like playing with Andy a lot.
Yeah.
Especially now.
And then, let's see. We got a couple new to our group. My buddy Ray is going to be playing with us. He's going to be playing a Goliath fighter. He's one of the people who gave me an interesting backstory because I won't give anything away, but he is cursed, and he pretty much he's cursed, and he's being punished, and it's by a trickster god, and he kind of just opened the door for me to do random magical shit to him.
That's funny. That's good. So, that'll be interesting.
I mean, I obviously don't want anything bad to happen to you guys, but I want it to be amusing. I want it to be entertaining when something happens. I've been working on a few plans for that. And then, of course, another wild card is Reed's Wild Magic Mage.
Yeah, I've never played
Sorcerer.
With a Wild
I'm
Magic
sorry,
Sorcerer.
Not Mage, Sorcerer, yes.
So that'll be fun.
And I've been looking over the tree, and I think it's cool for a first level Sorcerer, but it doesn't change. Things change as you level up, and I am totally gonna play with that. I've thought, like, not just because, like, other D&D related stuff that I've read or watched or whatever the case may be, even on wild sorcerers, there's just so much more interesting stuff you can throw in there that make the game more interesting with type of player being in your party.
that table is like every other table in the game. It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
And you can mess around with it how you please.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. I'm excited to see what you come up with.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. Probably more than anything at the moment, just because I could probably throw a whole, if the right dice are rolled, that could be a whole session. But let's see. Then we got my buddy Zach's Wood Elf Monk. That's going to be interesting. He has a little bit of experience playing, but this will probably be a majority. He played a few times with me back years ago when I was DMing, but it was only for maybe 4 or 5 months at the most.
So he's still relatively new and everything.
Yeah, and it'll be cool to have him. Bucca, he's very invested, and I feel like he will try on both aspects, like role-playing and moving the story along. He won't try to like do any like derailing or anything like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. I just found out Kyle's playing a deep gnome. He just told me that. He's going to be playing a warlock.
It's a new race out of the Tome of Foes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hell yeah. That'll be interesting. I have to definitely widen my knowledge of deep gnomes because I'm not very...
Yeah, like we said, we kind of skipped over that halfling gnome chapter.
I'm going to have to definitely learn about them. And then this isn't a for sure thing. We'll see if he shows up or not. One of my other buddies, Andrew, he said he's going to be playing a dragonborn sorcerer if he shows up.
Two sorcerers in the same party, possibly.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Just shit's blowing up all over the place.
I'm just super excited to have such a large party because it kind of gives me more leeway with combat encounters. Like, no, I don't want to make them super hard, but I just want to make them super interesting.
Yeah. No, you put in mechanics that wouldn't necessarily be in combat with, the standard four characters.
Yes.
So, yeah, my limit for DMing, because I've been doing it for so long, like, you were part of the games where we had, like, 8, 9 people playing. Like, my limit is 5 people now. Like, I cannot DM for more than 5 just because I get so invested in the story. And more than 5 people just, they drag everything down so much. You don't get anywhere.
Yeah, over the last couple weeks as we like grew closer to our first session, I've been like trying to think of ways to move things along, and I've been looking at other people's tips and tricks about what they do when a party is kind of lollygagging, or if they're talking out of game too much, whatever the case may be, because that's super easy to have. I mean, 6-7 players,
yeah,
that's gonna be easy. That can happen a lot. One thing I am implementing is I want to use a timer in combat.
Well, yeah, with so many people, you can.
But I think that not only just to move battle along, but I feel like it gives an interesting aspect, a more lively aspect to the fact that things are, once you've entered combat, things are happening.
Things are trying to kill you.
Yes,
there's a sense of urgency.
All of a sudden, I'm not saying like, oh, you have 5 seconds to decide what you're gonna do. No, I was thinking I'll play around with maybe 30 seconds, see how that goes. And since this is the first time I'm doing it, I might change it. No, I'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
But because they're not waiting. The enemies are. You have entered combat. They are not waiting. So you can be like, okay, if I cast this spell. And then you cast this spell, and then you move over here. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like it'll be cool because it'll feel like real combat. Like you attack, then that person, the next person automatically attacks, and then it feels closer to 6 seconds instead of 16 minutes.
Yeah, because I do that sometimes too.
Yeah.
Where I'll start to like, you should do this so I can do that kind of thing. And like, I don't know, like, because I hate when people do it when I DM kind of thing, because I want that sense of urgency, but then I find myself doing it, so I'm kind of a hypocrite.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. The DM really sets the pace for everything. So it just depends on who your DM is and how they handle things. So I'm excited to see your little, you know, combat timer thing coming to fruition, just because it will speed up combat. It will get that sense of urgency, and it'll make combat encounters, instead of them being like, okay, now we have to fight this fight, like, for an hour and a half.
I want the nerves in your, like, your hands and your chest. Like, I want you to be like, oh shit, like, shit's happening, you know? Yeah. I think it'll be interesting.
No, yeah, I'm super excited. So that game will start tomorrow, which means that we will tell you all about our first session next week. So we'll have two games to talk about. And then I have been really, really thinking about starting up a third game just so I can DM. I mean, because I was going to wait until Waterdeep Dragon Heist came out. But I'm just feeling the itch, man. Especially now with my back the way it is. I'm just like laid up all day. I'm like, God, I need to plan a D&D campaign. Like, something needs to happen. But never fear, it is not far away, because Dragon Heist is coming in the coming months, and then right after that we got Dungeon of the Mad Mage, so we will get that the day it comes out, of course, and have a full review for you, or at least I will. I'm gonna read it. Christian's not, because he's gonna be playing through it.
I know. I'm so like, I mean I'm excited to play in it, but it's like, I want to read it.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It'd be cool. But those are not the only things coming out now. They've announced some new products. And it's funny, because the ones that I'm most excited about aren't targeted at me.
Which is funny. Me either.
Yeah, like, they're releasing the 1-2-3s and the ABCs of D&D children books, which is amazing, because one of the things I'm most excited about having kids is playing D&D with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's actually another podcast called Where the Wild Things Roll, and it's a guy playing D&D with his kids, and I'm like, I want to do that.
Yes, I'm so excited. But, like, even now, like, I'll have all my D&D related books out, and I'll tell my girlfriend, like, yeah, no, I want to read these to our son. And she's like, those aren't children books. And then, boom. Like, that could be anything, like Player's Handbook, friggin' Monster Manual, whatever. And, but then I have the Dritz novels, and I'm like, okay, these are actual books. Like, I'll read them. And she's like, no, those aren't his age appropriate. Okay, well, guess what? Guess what?
Yeah,
now I have 23rd. ABCs and 1-2-3s. Tell me it's not age appropriate. Yep.
October 23rd, you can get the 1-2-3s and ABCs of D&D at your local bookstore and on Amazon. And then they have another kids book, but this is for like preteens and teenagers. They have those Choose Your Own Adventure books are coming back. The Endless Quest series. They did these before in the 80s, and I don't think they've done them since. But yeah, they're coming out with four new Endless Quest books on September 4th. And basically, it's going to be Choose Your Own Adventure. They have one for a cleric, one for a fighter, one for a rogue, and one for a wizard. So I'm also going to be getting all of those for my godson, because he can't read yet, but why the hell not? And just because it'll be exciting, you know? I mean, we'll get them for your son, too. Just,
yep.
He can't read. He's a baby.
Yeah.
He's still going to have them. And then the thing I'm most excited about, because at heart, I've never grown over 12 years old, D&D coloring book on August 21st. Hell yes.
Shit, like, man.
Sometimes you just need to color, man.
It's Body a doesn't great know it yet, reliever. But I'm just going to, like, when I buy a house, you know, one of these years, and I get to do whatever I want to my son's room, paint the walls, paint the carpet, paint the ceiling, put holes in the walls, like whatever. Like, I'm not just for any reason to build shit, like whatever I want to do, yes. You know? But it's going to be so nerdy. And I got a boy first, so.
Yeah.
If we have a girl down the road and she wants to make a princess playhouse in my daughter's room. Have at it, but we had a boy first, and I'm gonna do some badass shit.
And everything's Batman and D&D.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Batman, but definitely D&D.
Definitely not Superman. Whatever. So yeah, so that's cool. They're targeting children, getting kids into D&D and stuff. Because I know, like, people that have grown up with the D&D are adults now, Mm-hmm. Like, they have kids. Like, having this product line for them to share their hobby with their children, I think, is genius. And I'm super excited to see what comes of it. But then on top of all of that, they did announce some new stuff. Dungeon the Mad Mage, they're unleashing a map pack on November 13th. So you actually have battle mats for some levels of the dungeon, which is nice. And then on December 10th, they're releasing WizKids, the one that do all the miniatures and everything for D&D. They're releasing a limited edition Waterdeep City of the Dead set. So an actual little cityscape of minis for like $40. Because that's when all like the minis are coming out for Waterdeep.
It's going to be awesome. Heist.
Yeah. So they have a limited edition cityscape coming out. And I'm like, oh my God, I want it so bad. Yeah. And then the core books are getting a new gift set on October 30th. You can give the gift of D&D, which is the player's handbook, Dungeon Master's Guide, and the Monster Manual and a DM screen, all bundled and boxed together. You can on October 30th. And then to top all that off, they're releasing a limited edition cover variant of the gift set. And I know this is an audio podcast, but if you have someone that's wanting to get into D&D, or if you just need to replace the books that you have.
I was about to say, I have all three of those books, but my birthday is coming up. Yeah. Christmas is coming up.
Just do yourself a favor and Google the limited edition gift set like covers, because they are so badass.
Yes.
Like the limited edition covers they did for like Bellow's Guide to Monsters and Xanathar's Guide to Everything and the Tome of Foes, like those are great. But the new core set covers just look like they're dripping like heavy metal D&D.
I need it.
Yeah, no, they look so good. Like, I'm so excited.
It's gotta be part of the collection.
Yes. And of course we know that Wizards is coming out with new settings for D&D. However, they have not officially released any information on them. There have been some teases put out by some of the people that work at Wizards, and there's a lot of speculation going on as to what those settings are going to be. The top three, which mean there's a few settings for D&D. There's like five or six I can think off the top of my head, but the top three are Spelljammer, which is, you know, space D&D.
Honestly, I'm so excited for that. I love a space themed story, and there's just, I don't know if it's just because I've watched so much space related shows growing up or what the case may be, but I want to run a space campaign.
Yeah, I mean Spelljammer is like, you know, it's like Star Trek. And it's like Star Wars to an extent kind of thing. Like, you and your party are on a spaceship, and like each planet is like a different level of a massive dungeon that is the universe. And you can make alien races.
Hundreds and thousands of planets, hundreds of universes. And you can just, I mean, don't get me wrong, even in like a normal, you know, setting, you can have some pretty outlandish shit. But how about a monster that you have to fight in a spaceship? Like, well, a monster bigger than a planet. Like, I mean, you have titans and stuff like that in like a regular setting that are, you know, massive, like beyond imagination. You have to fight
a planet that is a monster.
Yeah. Like, you can do, and there's just, you can have so many different races. So many different races. You can come up with a new race every week to throw at your party. Yeah.
Like Spelljammer, it seems interesting. Like, they released a book, I think, in the 80s. But, of course, I wasn't playing D&D then. So I never looked at it or read it. But just from, like, what I've heard about the setting, like, it really does open up, like, every, like, sci-fi fantasy thing that you could think of is going to be available to you.
And the different levels of technology. It'd be like a game of civilization. Like, you go to this planet and you got like Neanderthals. Then you go to the next planet and they're like, they're not even, they don't even have a like a form, like a corporeal form. They're just like,
they're still single cell organisms.
No. Like, they're so advanced. They're like,
oh, they've beyond. Ascended.
Yeah.
They don't need physical bodies.
Yes. Like, got you. It could be nuts. Different weapons. Everywhere you go, you could make a new weapon.
I'm really excited if that is one of the settings they're doing. Because I really just want to do like one of those campy Star Trek themed D&D campaigns where like every week is a new episode that has nothing to do with the episode beforehand kind of thing.
I think we actually talked about this too. It'd be like, if you were ever going to play an evil campaign, what's better than being fucking space pirates?
Oh,
like, where you
true.
Could just go everywhere and just, like, yeah. You just raid.
Another reason people think Spelljammer is going to be one of the settings is because Gith were put in the Tome of Foes, which are those hippo people from space. So it could be like a little teaser.
Oh, yeah.
In Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes.
Those guys are freaking awesome. They look awesome.
If Spelljammer is a setting, I want to play one of those. I want to be a hippo person with a gun.
All right.
And I will talk like this.
Oh, God.
I'm a hippo person with a gun. It'll be awesome. But another fantasy setting they're thinking about that they might release is Eberron. And Eberron is one of my favorite settings from D&D. It's dark, gritty, steampunk fantasy. Everything's robotic, steam-powered airships and warforged and all this stuff. It opens up so much because it still maintains that fantasy feeling of being in like medieval times, but it takes it like an age further. So we're like, oh, we now have elevators and hot air balloons and stuff, and we have guns. You know, like, it's a really good setting. I know Andy, we played a campaign where he played a Warforged.
I was in it.
Yeah, and he loved that Warforged character. So I think he would be super excited if Eberron actually came out as an official setting, and then we'd have to play a game in it. We could play an Eberron Spelljammer combined game where we're Warforged space pirates with our steam-powered spaceship.
In like Spelljammer, you can just land on like a random planet. You go through a wormhole, you land on a random planet, and that planet is like Eberron based. Yeah. And then you go to the next planet and it's some other setting. Like, there's just so many like options with that.
Yeah.
You can go, like, you just have the land on a planet, it's nothing but dinosaurs.
There we go. Land of the Lost all the way. That'd be exciting. And the third setting that's getting the most traction is Dark Sun. I know they recently did Dark Sun for 4th edition, so I don't know. Or did they do it for 3rd edition? I'm pretty sure they did it for 4th edition. But Dark Sun is just post-apocalyptic, like something has happened that just shatters the world, and now the world is this desert planet kind of thing. So it's a very survival tactic heavy setting because water isn't easily...
I feel like you could also give it like a very Wild Wild West feel.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, something, you know, catastrophe happened. I'm guessing a lot of the authority in the world itself was, like, killed. And there are no lawmakers or presidents or, you know, whatever the case, kings or whatever the case
may be. Yeah, Dark Sun has gone back to that era of... Oh, it's now humans versus the world. Like, we're no longer on top of the food chain.
Yeah.
We're struggling for survival kind of thing. So that's interesting. But that Dark Sun takes a very dedicated play group to really let it shine because of those survival mechanics that are in it. Like, if you have, you know, a game that just like, oh, we just want to go around and kill stuff and blah, blah. Like, Dark Sun, really, you're not going to get the full experience out of Dark Sun.
I mean, that's like... extreme weather conditions like heat where they suffer from, you know, exhaustion, and if there's no water, I mean, you'll die.
Exactly. You will die. Like, every minute is a struggle for survival. You don't have, you know, that nice, cushy hideout.
I mean, you are killing an animal that you see boiling the blood and drinking it, like, if you need something to drink. Like, who knows what's the lowest of low you can go to survive.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what settings come out. But so far, those are the top three I've seen speculated the most. Dark Sun, I really could do here or there. It doesn't matter. But for sure, Spelljammer and Eberron, I want to happen real bad. And I know people are like, well, you can just make it happen and stuff. But having, like, the official, like, Wizards coming out with a book, and it's like, oh, here's a setting that we wrote for you, so you don't have to do all the research and do all the work.
Like, it is a lot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine if I was to start right now and try to homebrew a space campaign, I wouldn't be ready this year.
No, yeah, it would. All the races and stuff, like, you'd have to come up with, like, races for your characters to play, and then, like, the weapons, and how does the spaceship work? Does the spaceship have weapons? Like, how does the travel work? Do you need fuel? Like, all these things, you know?
The amount of planets, the amount of civilizations, societies, like, oh my god, how each one's different. You, for that big of a setting, it's like you have to come up with however many planets your group decides to travel to. You'll have to make that many settings. Yeah, like, exactly. I feel like like a Spelljammer space themed campaign would be pretty much the biggest campaign you could ever make.
Oh, for sure. I think after I do the Waterdeep series, I'm gonna do a Dark Souls themed D&D campaign.
Sounds horrible.
What do you mean horrible? That's God. Awesome.
That, man, I just have bad memories of that game.
Well, I love those games. It's going to be awesome. Now, for many of you, this past week has been a tough one. Not only because there was no Tavern Tussle and you thought there was going to be a Tavern Tussle, but a certain D&D stream lost one of its own. In real life, he's okay. He's fine. I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone. But one of the D&D streams that you may watch has had a player death. And those are always tough. Take it from me, the guy who lost his Goliath Rogue just 3-4 weeks ago. And I'm still feeling the sting. You know? Because you play a character for so long. You know, you start at level 1 and you get, you know, by the time you're level 5 or 6, you've been playing that character for a while.
I mean, in real time, especially if you do, like, once a week, months. You've invested months into that character.
So you get attached. You have certain attachment to this character. Like, you're playing him every week. You know, you get excited when something goes right. You know, you feel sad when something goes wrong. And then for that character to die, it just leaves you, like, with this empty feeling. Like, I enjoy my new Blood Hunter. Like, he is fun. He is good. But I don't feel the attachment.
Like, I also feel like the longer you play one character, the more you learn about that character. Like, as you're playing that character, you learn how, like, oh, like, my character has feelings towards this, and this is how I reacted. Or, you know, if you're, like, very entertaining or whatever the case may be, like, you learn more about your character as you play them. And there's kind of, like, memories of that character that once they die, you'll never get to do again.
Yeah, like, it's done. He's gone. He's gone forever. Egon, Kroker, and Tornico.
Like, dude, like, I still think of, like, your character, like, Egon would, he just rob people. I mean, you would rob your, I mean, assume is your best friend, at least the best friend you have in the, like, the closest thing you'll ever have to a best friend as a thief. But
yeah,
I mean, you would just steal her gold.
It's so interesting because even now, 3 or 4 weeks after he's died, he still comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even the one to bring him up because my character has no idea about him. But Egon is still a point of contention in the party because of how big of a role he played. And it's just, it's so funny to me because I'm trying to move on. Like just this last week, I can't remember who said something, but they said something about Egon, and I was like, guys, fucking stop, man. He's dead. Let it go. I'm still reliving this shit. It's just funny. But whatever. I mean, it's the same way when Andy's bard died.
Oh, my God.
In our old campaign.
I had a story every single day. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, he came up every week because that character was played for so long. And he was so ingrained in the party that when he left, it left a hole in like the party.
I mean,
itself.
I wasn't even there for that character, and I feel like I was, and I feel like I was because, man, he just talks about how much shit that character went through to survive.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, a character dying can be tough, but there are ways you can get over it. You know, it's the stages of grief, and this does not affect everyone. At all, because some people just make character, they die, just make another one, move on.
Yeah, some people just want to. I feel like some people, like, they'll make a character and like, ah, shit, I don't really like this one.
Yeah, like those, like, it happens a lot to power gamers when they play a character and like, oh, I'm kind of bored of this character. I just want him to die so I can make my new one.
Yeah.
But like heavy role players like me, oh God, and especially Aaliyah, when her ranger died during that TPK, she was in tears.
Dude, when Egon died, she was in tears. I mean, nobody gets...
My fiance is a beautiful soul, okay?
Yeah, she gets attached to her D&D characters and party, definitely.
Yeah, I think the best way to get over a character death is to make your new character as interesting as possible. Like, play something exotic or different. You know, like, because my first intuition before Egon died was to play a gnome cleric, you know. But then Egon dying, I was like, no, I got to do something. So I did the Blood Hunter. That's something completely new. Never played it before. You know, it's interesting. It's complex. It's complicated. And it's helped a lot. I just wish you guys would stop bringing him up. But whatever. You live another day, I guess. But no, yeah. Like, I don't know, character deaths are not the end of the world. And then especially, it's a weird thing, too. Talking about, like, the D&D stream, who has a character die off. Because it's like Game of Thrones. You watch Game of Thrones, you get attached to a character,
mm-hmm.
and that character dies. You get a weird feeling, because you're like, oh, shit, my favorite character died.
Yeah, you will, I mean... Chances are you'll never see them again.
Yeah, so I mean, the same thing with you watch a D&D stream you enjoy, and one of the player characters dies, and you're like, huh, that's weird. But then the weirder aspect of getting attached to a fictional character on a D&D stream is more than likely that person is going to come back the next week with a new character. So then it doesn't give you time to, like, get over, like, the fictional character that you liked, because now they just have this brand new person. And you're like, that's strange. Like,
yeah.
Like, you didn't see, like, freaking the guy who plays Ned Stark come back as somebody else after season one of Game of Thrones. Like, that didn't happen.
That would be awkward. Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's one of those things, especially, like, when a D&D stream gets really popular, and they, like, all the fan art and fan fiction. And
I feel like you also don't realize, like, how important they were to you until they die.
Oh, no, yeah. Like,
even if, say, a character that dies was your third favorite character. I mean, whatever. I'm just throwing a number out. But then all of a sudden it's like, fuck, I really liked that character, or like that person, like, really brought this to the table, and now that's going to be missed.
Yeah. But the player who lost their character, I think they'll be fine with a new character because they are a really good role player. So it'd be cool. Everyone listening is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We're like being, I thought we were talking about Egon,
and now you're being fucking stupid. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. You don't want to spoil Avengers saying that Thanos snaps and kills half of everybody. Oops.
Damn.
It's not even in theaters anymore.
If you were going to watch it, you should have seen it by now.
Exactly. Whatever. But yeah, no. That was the return of Tavern Tussle, people. Oh my god, we did it. We kept you up to date on all the D&D news and talk shit about other stuff. Yeah. So, Karataka, do you have any last minute things you want to say, bring up?
I mean, other than that, like, I don't know, I'm super excited because we've been working on plans to, you know, do other stuff for so long. Like, we've been talking about it, like, and I'm super excited. So just, I don't, you know, you already said it, like, but if you can, you know, watch our Twitter to stay up to date on all the new stuff we're going to be doing outside of the podcast. And
I'm super excited. And then, of course, you can always email us taverntussle@gmail.com in case you have any concerns, comments, questions. Hell, if you want to be on the show, it never hurts to ask, you know.
We love guests.
We've had guests. You've heard guests. We know our guests.
And it makes the conversation, like, there's just adding a new, you know, new insight, new opinions, whatever the case may be.
Because opinions matter. It's 2018, people.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech is important, okay?
Cool. God.
You might not like what someone has to say, but they have a right to fucking say it.
Boom.
Yes. Yes, well. But thank you all for giving us your attention for another week. We will be back next week where we are talking about something that I'm not going to say because why would I? You just have to come back next week and find out. But from the bottom of my heart and my very sore back, I thank you for listening. And from the bottom of Karataka's cold, dark recess, he thanks you. So remember, roll well. Be nice to each other, and we will see you next week.